This episode of the Mass Film Room podcast is currently unsponsored. If you are interested in sponsoring us, please reach out to us on our socials, on Twitter, or on Instagram, at Mavs Film Room. If you're here just to listen to the podcast, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to your podcast to never miss an episode. And if you're a Mavs fan who's online, be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Mavs Film Room, so you can interact with our great community of Mavs fans and never miss some of the great content that we put out. So thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this episode. Go Mavs. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Mavs Film Room podcast. We're recording this just after 11:30 p.m. Central Time, mere minutes after the Mavericks got a huge, momentous, season-defining win against the Sacramento Kings on the road, 132-96. It was a beatdown in a game that the Mavericks, quite frankly, needed to win to get to the sixth seed in the Western Conference. That's about as simple as it gets. The Mavericks had lost their first two matchups to the Kings this season. Both of them came into this game 42-29. The tiebreaker is still on the line, but a chance to avoid the play-in was really what was at stake tonight, and the Mavericks responded to the challenge in resounding fashion. The game was not particularly close, especially in the second half, and what a win, man. What a win. Vinay, how's it going? How are you feeling after this huge win?
Feeling good. I'm obviously elated. I'm not the most surprised because I just think the Mavericks are a better team than the Kings. I don't know if they're necessarily 40 points better than like what happened tonight, but I mean, this is just kind of what I expected. Like, I know Luka was a little bit hobbled, but he put on the cape for that first half with the superhero type 26, 7, and 5. Just to kind of give the Mavericks a little bit of a lead. And then, you know, Kyrie was just cooking in the third quarter. Just let him have the ball, cooked off, cooked the Kings, just kind of attack mismatches, get to his spots. It was a clinic in the third quarter. And, I mean, that was the game right there. First 6 minutes of the second half was the game, and Kyrie delivered.
It was. And I feel like Luka sometimes, like, when he comes into these games with an injury designation or when he has something on the injury report, those are typically games – where he plays well if he's able to suit up. Because, you know, Luka had been in a bit of a mini slump coming into this game. But tonight, 4 of 8 from 3, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. He only needed to play 31 minutes in tonight's game. He played 41 minutes last night against Utah. So just, you know, a clinic from him and Kyrie Irving, who had 24 points, 8 assists in this game, just cooked the Kings in the third quarter. We didn't even talk about the plays from the Mavs big men tonight. I mean, how about that?
I mean, Derek Lively, I mean, he was amazing on defense, especially in the third quarter. That was like all defensive caliber type stuff that you see from like the Rudy Gobert's. I mean, Victor Wembanyama's, Bam Adebayo, like that level of defensive impact is what he brought in the third quarter. Sabonis all night, mainly on Lively, couldn't really get it going. Like, he just really couldn't kind of overpower, throw his little Sabonis elbows and kind of get to the basket and get those easy buckets underneath. He just didn't have it. Derek Lively is just, he's just such a difference maker defensively for this team. You can't really say enough about him. He had a bad game yesterday, and you know what he's done all year after bad games is bounce back the next game. In this case, a back-to-back the very next day in the biggest game of the season for the Mavericks.
Yeah, and I thought in the first half, Derek Lively was not great either. I thought he was getting outclassed a bit by Sabonis, by the Kings. I thought that they were putting bodies on him, you know, out-muscling him for rebounds. But, yeah, in the third quarter, he just turned it on to another level. I mean, he was smothering the Kings at the rim. And Domantas Sabonis, who is a really strong guy, Derek Lively was making light work of him on the inside. And, yeah, I mean, the shot-making of Luka and Kyrie really carried the Mavs to build that big lead in the third quarter. But it wouldn't have happened without Derek Lively, you know, just stymieing the Kings on the inside in that quarter.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about this performance today, and then you take it back a couple Sundays ago with what he did versus Jokic. I mean, you're talking about two of the best offensive bigs in the league today, and he just stymied both of them. And he's going to be counted on to do that again in the playoffs with whoever we play, whether it's like Chet Holmgren or Jokic or whoever it is. Like, he's going to be asked to guard the best offensive bigs in the West, and he did it today.
Yeah, I mean, I think both him and Daniel Gafford, you know, responded to the challenge. And I mean, I think Daniel Gafford's contribution was on the offensive end, 10 points. But even then, I thought Daniel Gafford was great
on the inside, defending and blocking shots. Both of them played around 21 minutes and 50 seconds. I think Derek Lively played 7 seconds more than Gafford. Great games for both of them. PJ Washington came through tonight in a big way. He hit 4 of 6 from three. Continued to, I guess, shoot the three ball at a better level than he has been as a Maverick. And he had his first double-double as a Mav tonight, 13 rebounds to go along with 14 points. PJ Washington was a force on defense again, and man, that acquisition is continuing to pay dividends for the Mavs.
Yeah, he's going to shoot better than he has so far since the trade. Like, he's a better shooter than that. I love the confidence that he has on these threes. Like, for someone that's shooting, I think 18% in the last few games from the 3-point line, and he just has so much confidence. That's what you want to see. Like, you don't want to see scared shooters when they're open. Like, that'll kill your offense more than anything if shooters are scared to shoot when they're open. So, the fact that he keeps doing it, I like his little floaters that he takes in the rim. I feel like it's more times than not going in. I like the couple of dunks that he's had lately. I feel like I've been saying this before, but he should just dunk the ball when he attacks the rim. Like, he's so athletic and he's just able to finish over like smaller guys, because a lot of times, bigs are rotating because of the, they're up on the screen against Luka, and you have PJ attacking against a rotating defense. It's tough. It's a tough cover for defenses.
Exactly. And I mean, it feels like everyone who touched the floor for the Mavericks played well tonight. I mean, Derrick Jones Jr. was huge. I thought on both ends, defensively and offensively, he knocked down 2 of 4 from three, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, but was a plus 25 in this game. Tim Hardaway Jr. had his best game in arguably a month and a half. I mean, I know against OKC last Thursday, Tim was pretty good, but tonight I thought he really put it all together. He shot 4 for 6 from three. That's got to be his best shooting game in a long time. He had some good mid-range shots. He had a dunk. He got to the basket, got fouled, hit free throws. Look, the Mavericks finally had that 3-point regression game that we've been waiting so desperately to see from them. They hit 22 of 39 from three tonight, 56.4% as a team. And we said this, I think after the Utah game, that it was only a matter of time before the three started falling for the Mavericks and they blew out an opponent. And tonight it happened in the most important game of the season. You can't ask for a better time for that regression to happen.
No, I mean, definitely. Like, it's great that the Mavericks have this identity now of scoring in the paint consistently, but you can't run and dunk your way to a championship. Like, you still need to be able to shoot from the outside. You still need, like, the 3-point shot is still, like, in my opinion, the most important factor in most basketball games. Like, more times than not, the team that shoots better from three that game is going to win the game. Is it sustainable to shoot hot from three all game long? No, it's not. But, you still have to be able to have some component of the 3-point shot, especially when you have guys like Luka and Kyrie that are creating all these open looks all game long.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was concerning for me these last few weeks that the Mavericks hadn't been able to shoot the three properly, especially when you consider, like, yeah, they're not the best team in terms of shooting talent, but they do have good shooters. They have Kyrie Irving, they have Luka Doncic. Tim Hardaway Jr., for the vast majority of this season, has been a good shooter. He hasn't been able to knock down shots for whatever reason. Hopefully tonight is the beginning of something, good for him. Because, I mean, look, we've had our gripes about Tim Hardaway Jr., but the reality is, if he's knocking down his shots at a respectable level, it makes the Mavericks difficult to beat, especially when Luka and Kyrie are playing at this level, which, in my opinion, is the highest that we've seen from them at any point in time together in Dallas.
Oh, absolutely. And it's really the possessions on offense where he kind of just like hijacks the possessions, I call it, where he takes like a bad contested mid-range shot or just kind of has tunnel vision, or on defense, he kind of just completely blows a defensive assignment, which, just kind of kills you on defense at times. But if he's not doing those things, he's taking good shots within the flow of the offense. He's just kind of attacking closeouts, making the right play here and there. Pull up mid-range shots when he's open. I love that shot for him, honestly. 3-point shot, just catch and shoot from deep, like past the break. Love that shot for him. But it's just kind of the shots that he takes, the decisions that he makes on both ends of the floor. That's going to be the key for him to stay on the floor. Because I really do think, like, Jason Kidd, especially in playoff time, if Mavericks are fortunate enough to get a top 6 seed, I think Jason Kidd's not going to be shy to pull him if he's having a bad game. Like, I know he's pretty loyal to him now in the regular season, but I think Jason Kidd's like shown that he'll pull a guy when they don't have it in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, Jason Kidd, I think his faith in Tim Hardaway was rewarded tonight. I mean, it has been a little bit frustrating to see him, give Tim a bit of a long leash. But I mean, tonight, it's a look. It can go to one of both ways. Like it could end in disaster, or in a case like this, it could keep a guy engaged and finally he breaks out of a slump. Whether or not he continues to play like this is a different story. But for one night, I thought that it was important to have Tim shoot like this. It was important for the team to have a game like this where they shot, because yes, the Mavericks did have a 44-38 points in the paint advantage over Sacramento, but it's clear that they did the most damage from the perimeter. And I think the Mavs beat the Kings at their own game tonight, dominating on the inside and then just putting the cherry on the top with all the 3-point shooting that they have, because the Kings don't have this kind of shooting. I got to ask you this question. I think I know the answer to it that you'd give me, but does a game like this prove that the Mavericks are in a tier above the Kings? Because they're very similar teams for a lot of metrics and, of course, their record. But tonight, it looked like one team was clearly better than the other.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the Mavericks are a tier better than the Kings, and it kind of just comes down to the star factor. Like, I just think Luka and Kyrie are just simply better than Fox and Sabonis, as simple of an answer as that could be. Like, that's kind of what it comes down to. We'll see again what happens Friday, but Sabonis, like, even the playoffs last year, just kind of has a history. I know it's not fair because it's like a small sample size, but it is what it is. Like, he has a bad history in the playoffs. And when you're talking about Luka, big time player, like, in all these type of moments, even with the hobbled Achilles today, I knew the guy was going to show up today. Like, it's just like a guarantee. Like, anytime it's a big game, he's going to show up. So I mean, yeah, I think the Mavericks are a tier ahead of the Kings. I want to see them prove it Friday. Like, I want to come out of here with 2 wins in Sacramento, not just the split.
I agree, and honestly, like, for as great as this win was, winning on Friday is almost just as important, because Sacramento only needs a split in this 2-game series to win the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Mavericks. So if the Kings win on Friday, they go back up ahead of the Mavs in the standings. Getting a 2-game lead against Sacramento and splitting the season series would go a long way for the Mavs in avoiding the play-in tournament, because they do have the tiebreaker over the Phoenix Suns. They do have the tiebreaker over the Warriors at this point. They have the tiebreaker over the Lakers. It's really the Kings that have been the team that they've been chasing this entire season. And that's not to mention that now the Mavs are within a game of New Orleans in the standings as well. New
And the
Orleans is a
Clipper,
team.
how far are they from the Clippers?
They're 1.5 behind the Clippers, but the Clippers own the head-to-head tiebreaker, so that's kind of
No,
effectively
the Clippers have the
two and a
tiebreaker,
half.
but their coach just called himself yesterday. Like, that team is free falling.
I mean, yeah, like the Clippers have been losing a lot of games. I mean, I think they had a 25-5 stretch, and now since then they're 16-18 or something like that. They've been losing a lot recently. I mean, the 4 seed is not out of reach for the Mavericks with 10 games to go. I still think they need a little bit of help to get to that point, but I do think the 5th seed is definitely attainable, especially with New Orleans missing Brandon Ingram. They have a tough schedule coming up too. So there's a real opportunity for the Mavericks. They just got to get through this game on Friday against Sacramento, which I think is the hardest game they have remaining all season.
This is like a very minor like point in the Mavericks scheme of things, but the Clippers play the Suns a couple times next month in a situation where we might be rooting for our brothers in Phoenix to win those games.
I mean, yeah, I think the Pelicans play the Suns too down the stretch, which I mean, that's a game where you probably will be rooting for the Suns too. But look, if the Mavs continue to take care of business like this, it's going to be a fun finish to the season, and it's going to be really exciting going into the playoffs.
The toughest games for me, I said this even before tonight's game, believe it or not, is I really thought those two Rockets games they have remaining were going to be tougher than these Kings games. And the reason why is because the Rockets, without Sengun now, play with a little bit more space. They're better defensively. It's just kind of a tougher match for the. Those are the two games for me, like the rest of the way for the Mavericks, that are kind of like circle. Like, I want to see what happens with these two games. Like, because the rest of the schedule looks like cake. Even the Warriors games, like, the Warriors are the Warriors, Steph, but. I mean, they're not playing well at all either. Like, I want to see how the Mavericks guard five out. I think they play the Rockets on Sunday. I want to see
Yes.
how they do against the Rockets five out defensively, because the Mavericks in this recent defensive stretch, they still haven't played a lot of teams that play five out. Like, I want to see how does Jason Kidd adjust to that with who he closes with at the five. I thought today he was going to go small ball five to or small ball lineup to close the first half. Stuck with Lively, who did a great job on Sabonis. Like, it kind of showed the in-season adjustment with Jason Kidd. I feel like even a couple of weeks ago, he would have probably gone to that PJ Maxey 4-5 lineup.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we're seeing Jason Kidd starting to trust Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively more in the closing moments of the game. But yeah, like you said, against a team like Sacramento, it works because they have Sabonis and you need a body to put on him, and he's not really a shooting threat. But yeah, against teams that are able to play five out, it'll be interesting to see how the Mavericks address that. And I think the Rockets are a good test for them in that sense. The Rockets, those games are honestly pretty important too, because on the note of catching New Orleans in the standings, right? The Mavs and Pelicans tied the season series 2-2. Because they're in the same division, the next tiebreaker is the division record. And New Orleans finished the division slate of their season 9-6. Actually, I don't know if they have another division game. I might scratch this from the pod, but essentially winning these two games against the Rockets will go a long way in securing the
The
division winning percentage. Because yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Pelicans have one more division game against the Spurs on April 5th at home.
Okay. But if the Mavs win these two games against the Rockets, they're guaranteed to have a better division winning percentage than the Pelicans, because the Pelicans have six division losses. The Mavericks only have five. So if the Mavs win these two games against the Rockets, they have clinched, the tiebreaker against New Orleans, and that could come in handy if the two teams are tied in the standings, and they're only a game apart now. So, yeah, very
I
important
mean, it's
game.
going to be so some of these, a lot of these tiebreakers that we talk about aren't going to happen. But I mean, tiebreakers have happened before in NBA history, and they do decide seedings and standings and all that good stuff. So I think it's important to mention like each and every single one of these tiebreakers. Like the Clippers have the tiebreaker over us, the Pelicans one's important, that's still up for grabs. Like all these tiebreakers are big.
Yeah, and we saw tiebreakers come in handy just like 3 seasons ago, 2020, 2021. The Lakers, Mavericks, and Portland were all tied with the same record. I believe the record was 42-30, something like that. But the Mavericks won that three-way tiebreaker and were able to avoid the play-in, whereas the Lakers had to participate in the play-in. I don't remember if the Blazers did or not, but again, these tiebreakers matter, and the Mavericks unfortunately do not have tiebreakers over the Clippers, and at this point don't have it over the Kings. But if they're able to split, if they're able to win this next game against the Kings, I think that'll go a long way in helping avoid the play-in again. And if you are able to win the tiebreaker by division record over the Pelicans, who knows? 10 games remaining, anything can happen.
Yeah. Really quickly, wanted to touch on Luka. I was kind of surprised that, like, start the game, just how he was moving. I was surprised at how hobbled he was. Like, I knew he had a sore Achilles, but I was just kind of surprised at how much he was laboring. I don't know when this injury happened. I really want to see how he looks Friday with 2 days off with rest. I think the whole team knew that this game was important. I don't think he would have played otherwise. Like, if this was a normal game against the Pelicans on a, or not the Pelicans, but like, I don't know, the Pistons on a random Tuesday, I don't think he would have played, but I think he played because of the importance. But he just didn't move super well. And I hope that's better because the health of him is the most important factor for this team, bar none.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that Achilles soreness has been something that Luka has appeared on the injury report with this season. But yeah, you combine that with the hamstring soreness that he suffered a week and a half ago against the Warriors. I think, the lower body injuries are something that he is dealing with right now. But kudos to him for fighting through it. And, even though he came up on the injury report and was a game time decision, I expected him to play in this game, just knowing how important it was for the Mavericks. And he delivered in a big way. And like you said, hopefully these 2 days of rest does it well for Friday.
I want to see how the Mavericks respond Friday. I mean, the Kings are going to come out with their head on fire because Sabonis doesn't like Luka. I can kind of tell. I think it's based on Lithuania being knocked out by Slovenia a couple of years ago and whatever it was, Eurobasket, I believe. And Sabonis' dad had to present the trophy to Luka, which is hilarious. I just don't think so. I think there's a little bit of a thing there. I think they're going to come out a lot better Friday. I don't think the Mavericks are going to shoot as well from three on Friday, so I want to see how that goes, but I do expect the team to win again on Friday. I think the Mavericks are a tier ahead of the Kings. Yeah, I just want to see them take care of business.
Agreed. I mean, look, the Kings are going to come out, like you said, with a lot more aggression. They're going to be motivated to win the game. In the NBA, it's difficult to beat a team 2 times in a row because you have time to scheme, make adjustments. But just as the Kings have time to do that, the Mavericks have time to do that as well. There were things they could have done better tonight, and I expect them to work on that in these next 2 days.
The Kings don't really have a lot of defensive adjustments. Like when you have, I'm not trying to knock the guy, but when you have Sabonis as your anchor on defense, it's just kind of like, and you're playing a high, heavy pick and roll team like the Mavericks, like it's just kind of hard for the Kings to hide him. But like it was so easy for the Mavericks all game long to just carve them up and get a good shot on every play when they decided to. This plays that the Kings stopped them on, that was like the Mavericks taking a dump shot. But every time that the Mavericks wanted to, they can get a good shot. And I don't know exactly what the Kings went to zone. They trapped Luka, they trapped Kyrie, they did all sorts of stuff. But you know, those guys, there's not a defense for them. Like it's up to, they're going to get an open shot whenever they want to, almost it seems like. And it's just kind of, it's going to be up to PJ, Derrick Jones Jr., Exum, Tim. Like those guys got to hit shots again Friday. I don't know if they're going to shoot as well as they did today, but that's just going to be the key.
Agreed. And it felt like the Kings' game plan tonight was really selling out to stop the paint scoring for the Mavericks. And as a result, the Mavs had a lot more open three-pointers than they normally do. And to their credit, they made Sacramento pay. I do wonder if a game like this makes Sacramento play the perimeter a little bit more aggressively. But then at the same time, that just opens up the paint a lot more for the Mavericks. Like I thought that Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively were a little bit more limited in their scoring tonight than that they typically are. But if the Kings decide to play more aggressive defense to stop shooters, then I expect Gafford and Lively to have big games on Friday. And then, of course, like with Luka and Kyrie being able to carve up the defense, that could be the way the Mavs win the game on Friday as well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bigger Gafford game Friday. Like you said, I think they're going to carve him up a little bit more inside on Friday as opposed to kind of the heavy jump shooting today. But, you know, honestly, the Mavericks today, like they can get any shot they wanted to. It was just like that easy for them. Like, hopefully, it looks like that on get on Friday. And, you know, we'll see. Kings are going to respond, but I think the Mavericks are going to take care of business again on Friday.
Yeah, I'm just happy that the Mavs didn't make me look like a fool for some of my tweets that I had this week, but it really did feel like Sacramento has gotten lucky in a lot of these games. I mean, we watched that game against Orlando last Saturday. They've had a few other instances of that against Memphis a couple weeks ago, San Antonio, games that they had no business winning, but they were able to get a lucky break in the final seconds of the game that put them over the top. That works against teams like that. A team like the Mavericks will make you pay. And tonight, the Mavs made a statement.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess like, you know, ideally when you go into like a road splitting, it's a good team. You just want to, or road, what is it? Back to back games on the road against the same team. You want to be able to split those. But, you know, I think their goal really should be to take both. You got 2 days off in between. And I'm really curious to see how Luka moves on Friday. Like, I really hope this is not like a long term nagging thing. Like, that's going to bug me. And that's even more reason to get the playoff spot as opposed to a play in game is because you're going to get a big, you're going to get more days of rest if you're in the playoffs as opposed to the play-in right off the bat. So there's another factor for getting that six or higher seed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just want no part of the play-in. It's a extremely high leverage situation after a long 82 game season. It's very easy to get burned out after a game like that. I know last season we saw the Lakers and Heat be successful after winning in the play-in. I just don't think that's a sustainable thing you can expect to happen again. So I know that's the Mavs' focus in these final 10 games of the season is to avoid the play-in. But yeah, it feels really exciting right now. Very exciting. That same feeling that I was getting in 2021, 2022, I feel a little bit of it right now.
Yeah, I mean, this team has given us mountains and valleys before, so you know they just got to keep this mountain up. We don't want to see any like signs of that little lull they had a couple weeks ago, like 3 weeks ago, where you know we were pretty down in dumps and you know thinking about who the coach of the Mavericks is going to be next year and all sorts of stuff. So
Who, by the
we just
way,
got to keep playing consistent basketball.
I think Jason Kidd deserves a lot of credit for helping steady the ship. I mean, yeah, you could say it is the bare minimum for what a coach should do, but I think he deserves credit for keeping players bought in and making the necessary adjustments and making that, you know, five losses in six game stretch look like more of just a lull or a cold streak than, you know, something systemically wrong with the team.
Sometimes the laid back calm approach might be like a good, I don't know. Like I think about this a lot with Kyrie and Kidd. Like I feel like it's a good mix to have with Luka's kind of fiery personality. Like sometimes when it, it's all going bad. You don't need like all fiery personalities just kind of like talking about how bad it is or just kind of like making it worse. Like sometimes you just gotta like as tough as it is, just sit back and observe.
Exactly. I mean, players definitely appreciate that from Jason Kidd and Kyrie Irving, that calming presence. I mean, I think like one of the players' biggest gripes with coaches is just coaches who yell and scream and lay into them a lot. Like this generation of players doesn't like that. Jason Kidd knows that, and he doesn't operate that way. Yes, it can be frustrating as a fan of this team sometimes to not see that kind of fire from the coach, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we think. It really just matters what the players think, and it's clear they respond to him.
I just wish he'd get a couple more technical fouls as opposed to Luka picking up the technical fouls, but it's all good.
That's true. That's true. I mean, look, the vibe around the team is incredible right now. It starts with the coach, it goes to the leaders, Luka and Kyrie. It trickles down to the role players as well. I mean, look what Luka said after the game today in the post-game interview about Kyrie Irving. He's the Batman, I'm the Robin. I mean, for all the narratives about Luka being this selfish player who doesn't pass the ball, who doesn't get his teammates involved, I mean, he's clearly the star of this team, and yet he's calling, his co-star the star of this team. Like, I mean, that just speaks to the kind of environment, the culture that the Mavs have going right now. It's just great to see.
I like the cheesy superhero comparison. I'm not calling them Batman and Robin, but calling them Batman and Superman. Like, I vibe with that.
No, I agree. I mean, they are Batman and Superman. This has been such a great Kyrie Irving season, and it just sucks that he got
That
wiped
damn
out
Dwight
by the.
Powell
Yeah, I
injury, man.
know. I know. If this was last season, he'd probably make an all-NBA team. But because of the 65-game rule, he's not going to be eligible this season. But he's absolutely having an all-NBA caliber season. This is one of the best seasons of Kyrie Irving's career. I mean, he's not averaging a career high in scoring, but just his efficiency shooting the ball, his rebounding, his passing, it's been the full package this season. And he has five dunks, including one tonight. I mean, you can't ask for anything more.
No, you can't. Man, it's kind of crazy that this team, after all what happened, is like, I think if certain stuff goes right Friday, like the Pelicans lose and the Mavericks win Friday, I believe the Mavericks jump to the fifth seed.
They do. They do.
So, just got to keep going.
But the Pelicans are playing the Bucks, and the Bucks have never helped us this entire season. Don't expect them to help us either, because they fucking lost to the Lakers twice without LeBron. So,
Who cares about the Lakers?
I mean, who cares? I know that, but I'm saying the Bucks, the they're, I just don't trust them to help us. But look, we can't focus too much on other teams. We've got to focus on our team and the opponent in front of us, which is the Sacramento Kings. It's going to be another tough game on the road. But I like our chances in that one.
Yep, me too. I don't really have much else to add. I think Dante Exum, I can't, I mean, I feel like enough doesn't get said about him, but he just kind of connects the team on both ends of the floor. Like, great point of attack defender for the most part defensively, and then just kind of as a passer, connective wise on the offensive end. Like, he's crucial. His health is important too. Like, we have to keep him healthy. Like, he's got to be able to play 25 minutes a game plus in the playoffs. I don't know if he's going to be able to withstand that, but that's the type of like he's the type of player you see on like title winning teams. So just kind of the
Yeah.
glue guy. Like he just has all those traits. Like, you saw it from really his first few games this season in Dallas. Like, props to him for improving overseas in Europe with Partizan and his jump shot and all that stuff. Like, really happy for him. I'm even more stoked that, he's here for next year. Like, usually these type of things are 1 year flyers, and we got him for 2 years. Like, big props to Nico Harrison and Dennis Lindsey for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it, like players or title teams have those kind of players. I mean, Jason Kidd has compared him to Sean Livingston in the past as kind of a similar guy who had his career derailed by injuries. Sean Livingston, of course, came back and was a very integral part of those Warriors championships teams. I'm not saying that Dante Exum is going to help lead us to a championship, but it's just similar. You need a connecting piece like that. Dante Exum plays that role really well for us. I mean, honestly, him and Derrick Jones are super critical to making this thing work. Both of them need to be healthy. Both of them need to be staples in the rotation. I think it can't be said enough.
No, definitely not. Hopefully Derek Jones Jr. I mean, he's been hitting the threes lately. Hopefully that can continue, because if he is, then I mean, what, how are you supposed to guard the Mavericks if he's hitting threes?
Exactly. And, I
Want
think
to
out of
give
the
this
Knicks, sorry,
little
go ahead.
go, I want to give this little tidbit on strength of schedule for the rest of the season. I know that this has burned us in the past, but per Tankathon, the Kings have the third hardest strength of schedule left in the NBA. The Pelicans are seventh, the Clippers are 10th, and the Mavericks are 23rd. So I'm just saying that if the Mavericks take care of their business, I think you're going to get some help from the other teams, and where it's set up to where you might be looking at the 4 or 5 seed. But they have to take care of
Exactly.
their own business for all that to matter.
Exactly. I mean, the Mavericks have been rewarded for taking care of business these last couple of weeks. When you look ahead at the schedule, some of the teams around the Mavs, they had do have some very tough opponents. But again, that doesn't matter if you don't win your games. And hopefully the Mavericks can continue to win their games. They've won 9 out of their last 10 games. I believe that they've won 10 straight games when Luka Doncic plays, or at least 9 straight games when Luka Doncic plays. The one loss in that stretch has been against OKC when Luka didn't play. So they're on a roll right now. How long it continues remains to be seen, but hopefully it continues from the regular, through the rest of the regular season going into the playoffs into June.
Let's do it. I mean, the Mavericks just have to avoid the Nuggets out of the bracket, and I'm cool with whoever they play. Like, honestly, like, I'll play anyone on the list. Even the Nuggets, like, I don't want to play them in the first round, but shoot, I'll talk myself into it, I guess. But just in general, like, I'll play anyone on the list, like, with how they're rolling right now. Luka, Kyrie, and size is like such a dangerous formula.
I agree. I agree. I mean, if you're any team in the West, I don't think you want to play the Mavericks. Not saying that they're guaranteed to win a first round series, but they have a great chance in any series, I think. So, I think we'll probably after the next game on Friday talk a little bit more about what this means going forward. For the rest of the regular season and the playoffs. But I think we just wanted to talk about this game in particular, what the Mavericks did well, give them their flowers, and look ahead for the rest of the season.
Got to do it again Friday. Have to do it again Friday.
Absolutely. The job is not finished by any means, but I think the Mavericks, their mentality is in the right place right now. I don't see them falling prey to some of the previous lapses that they had. This team. They're comfortable, but they don't get too comfortable, which is what I like about it. Just got to keep that mentality going into Friday, and I think you're going to be rewarded if you continue to take care of business like this.
Yep. Let's do it.
All right. Vinay, you got anything else? I think that's it for me.
That's it.
All right, cool. Well, thanks everyone for tuning into this episode of the Mavs Film Room podcast. Thanks, Vinay, for joining me. I know it's late for you in Dallas, but I'm sure your adrenaline is pretty high, just like mine is. What a win for the Mavericks tonight, beating the shit out of the Sacramento Kings on the road in a game that they needed to have. Let's do it again on Friday because they do need to have that game too. Thanks for listening again. Follow us on Twitter at Mavs Film Room if you haven't. Follow us on Instagram at Mavs Film Room. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll be back with another episode. Probably this weekend to react to the game on Friday against Sacramento. But enjoy this win over the next 2 days. Feels great. Go Mavs, and we'll see you soon.
Light that beam.
Ha, light the beam.